Hi, this is John. I am your host at Channeling WordPress. This is episode 12 on March 29th, 2022. And the focus is going to be website security, in particular, WordPress website security. And the reason I'm revisiting this today is because of the war in Ukraine. Why would that matter? Well, if you've been reading any of the news, you've heard all about governments suggesting that businesses raise the level of their cybersecurity because there are expectations that bad actors, some of which who are government contractors, will be looking to leverage as many computers for a future cyber attack or simply want to start attacking infrastructure, internet-based infrastructure, of other governments or their foes or those people they just don't like because they may be siding with, in this case, Ukraine, period. So the bottom line is that the threat environment is literally insane. I know I said that once, but it is crazy busy with attacks on literally all types of websites. It's not just WordPress, but WordPress is unique in the fact that at this point, I think we're talking about 1 in 3.5 websites in the world use the WordPress content management system. And here's the rub. It doesn't have to be a fancy website. It could be somebody that launched a website and then walked away from it a year ago, or even just walked away from it yesterday, because the computer that hosts that website is still a functional computer, no matter what the front end of the website looks like. And if you aren't watching the security, if you're not properly updating your WordPress core, your WordPress theme, your WordPress plugins, if you're not making sure your PHP is up to date, if you're not doing these basic things, your website is a potential weapon against maybe your country, your country's defenses, your business, your brand, your customers. Because here's the deal, it's not all about DDoS, which is short for Distributed Denial of Service Attack, also abbreviated as DOS and simply called Denial of Service. It could be a bad actor that is affiliated with ransomware gangs that wants to use your website to infect your customers' computers with ransomware. Now, how do you think that's going to reflect on your brand? I ask you. If you went to a company's website and the screen popped up and said, hey, by the way, once you leave this, you might as well send us $600, $1,000, $10,000 so you can get access to your data. Would you go back to that website after you dealt with the ransom? I don't think so. That kind of activity can just obliterate a brand's reputation. And beyond that, the DDoS attacks are a real threat to not only national security, but any institution that has a website. Because a denial of service attack uses whatever computer that can be leveraged, your home computer, a hosting computer, a rack of servers, you know, for some other company. And what a denial of service, or as I said, DDoS attack does, it says, hey, all you computers, it's time for you to try to log into this website or that website because we need to either take it down, slow it down, or simply just destroy anybody's ability to communicate with it. This is real. So part of your responsibility as either a website owner, a website manager, or a developer that actively manages a client website is to make sure that that client's website is secured, is monitored, and beyond the fact that it is regularly updated and regularly scanned, to make sure that if there happens to be a threat detective, it is detected, it's resolved, blocked, adjusted. Because if you don't, you know, if you're a developer, and you're charged with taking care of a customer's website and it breaks, and that costs that customer X amount of dollars, loss of business, brand reputation, you could find yourself on the end of a lawsuit at the very minimum, at the on top of that, would you expect that client to hire you if you said that you were taking care of his website and had not made very clear either the limitations of that, your responsibilities to that? Somebody might just assume, well, you said my website was secure. And I said, but you fired me a year ago. I don't care. Let's talk about it in court. And you would actually have to get an attorney as a developer to say, listen, here's the client firing me and saying that I'm no longer responsible for his stuff. And if you didn't have that, you might actually be negotiating. So this is why security, backup, monitoring is literally as important as content is for your website. Let me give you three examples that are right now examples. Two of them are what I'm dealing with right now, and one of them was broached on the WordFence security blog about GoDaddy's managed WordPress platform. And so if you are a GoDaddy managed WordPress platform user, you need to listen right now very carefully. So they've detected some infected websites on the GoDaddy website and some affiliated websites that use GoDaddy managed WordPress platform that result in the website spamming Google with a bunch of useless information. And the whole goal appears to be to wreck the website's SERP, search engine result pages. So what we mean by SERP is that if I type, let's say I'm looking for shiny purple and black widgets, and you have been the company that worked hard to get highly ranked on a search engine result for that, and in the past, if somebody typed shiny purple and black widgets, you came up on the first page or even better on the top or even better as the featured snippet, all of a sudden, you see that your results are a bunch of junky spam that aren't even related to your website. It could be related to the best hot dog in Slovakia. It literally is what's happening. And so what happens is an investment that you made in getting your business found on a search engine could be obliterated by the current increasing level infections on the GoDaddy managed WordPress platform if that's where your website is hosted. So while your website's not broken, the chance somebody finding your website is broken, and that could be broken for months, if not years. So if you're a GoDaddy managed WordPress, look up the issue either on Google or go to wordfence.com and go to their news, and you won't miss it. The article is dated March 15th. So that's one reason why, even if you have GoDaddy managed WordPress that's supposed to be this kind of secure platform, do not rely on the platform or GoDaddy to protect your website, your brand reputation, your Google search engine or Excite or Yahoo search engine results or DuckDuckGoGo, whatever your search engines, your search result engine potpourri favorites are. You know, if you don't want that to get wrecked, you need to go and have your website scanned. And whether you use the online tool built into WordPress, which I'm pretty sure is related to Sucuri, or you go to Sucuri and do it, or you install or use a WordFence tool, whatever tool you want to use, you need to use it and look for issues in your WP config file. I think that's where they were at. In fact, that dovetails me to one of the issues I'm dealing with today. And I'm dealing with these issues on well-managed websites, meaning that the websites are regularly backed up, regularly updated, and they're using a premium version of a security plugin, in this case, WordFence. And I have a lot of blocks in it because this website's been attacked before, not successfully, but apparently this time somebody was able to get in there somehow and corrupt a WP config file. Now, from the front end, it looks fine, but there appears to be some code in there, which I will resolve here a little later on today, that somebody could leverage. Now, right now, I think I've pinned down the bad actors so that they can't get back in it. But I do know that I now need to go in and launch a sandbox and launch a raw sandbox WordPress website, extract the WP config.php file out of that, and then use that file to compare it to the one that appears to have an issue to fix it. Why do I have to do all that when it's WordPress managed and it's supposed to have all this additional security? Well, it's because GoDaddy loves not to help you on that kind of stuff. They say, well, we don't really have the responsibility for that. You know, if something happened, it's on you, despite the fact that it's supposed to be a more secure platform, etc. And trust me, you can word it any way. And I am pretty good at wording service requests with GoDaddy below what I think is their automatic, no, we can't help you threshold point. So in this case, when I called GoDaddy using my pro my pro login for my client and my pro credentials that are basically ancient, my GoDaddy account has 6 digits. How many digits does your GoDaddy account have? I guarantee you it's not 6 digits. But when I asked the guy, I said, hey, this is all I want from you. I've got this issue. Here's the issue. Can you generate a clean sample WP config file? I don't need any of the data. I just need a sample config file so that I can compare that to the one that's currently accessible via my file and my FSTP. My SFTP tools. And, you know, after a few minutes, he says, well, let me go and check on this. And that's what they do. Let me go check on this. Let me go check on this. Meanwhile, I'm trying to figure out how I can do this. I'm searching for WP config files, and I can find a lot of them, but GoDaddy's are a little bit different because of their caching. And right before, about, I don't know, 3 minutes before the guy comes back to me, I'm going, I can just simply use the sandbox, create a new WordPress test sandbox website, and then extract that file from there and compare it to the live one that's on the website that actually looks fine but apparently has an issue. The bottom line is you, your website contractor, or your in-house website team has to take point on defending your website. And you need to be clear who's doing this, who's monitoring this, and whoever is monitoring this should be willing to monitor it 24/7. I want to add that. I was up to 2 o'clock last night working on these website issues because not only do I value my client's business, I have already had to deal with certain issues when I wasn't in the stream of the issue, meaning when the client told me a week or two later that he has these suspicious transactions. And normally I don't monitor the actual individual transactions. I monitor the overall health of the website, make sure everything's updated, make sure the security is right, but I do not go in, or nor do I get the transaction alerts. I do not really look at what's on hold, what's on processing, what's canceled, you know, or even what's failed. That's not what he pays me for. He generally can handle that. Well, this time, which goes to the next issue that's not a managed GoDaddy issue, this is another premium environment that I will be talking to the hosting environment about. We are on the edge of revisiting a carding attack that was successful enough to make us really ramp up what was already a fairly aggressive security protocol. And the short story is that back in October of 2021, a user came to the website, registered an account, and ran 5 invoices through our system. Now, the first 4 invoices looked normal, but they failed due to a failed credit card. So the site owner wasn't concerned about it because they failed. The website appeared to do this job. The 5th transaction was successful. And once it was successful, he sent it to me and said, John, look at this invoice. What's going on here? And the nature of the problem was that the user had 3 lines of items he was going to buy. He had an item 1 that had 1 price. He had an item 2. It was 1 item that showed a total for 1 price. Item 2 had 3 items, but the subtotal was only charging him for 1. And the other 3rd item was normal. And that immediately became a highly suspect issue that once I saw that, I was like, oh, we have a problem here. Because not only could I not replicate ordering 3 items and getting the invoice to only charge me for 1, But it appeared that in that transaction, which was the one that was successful, not only was the transaction successful, but when I went down and opened up that transaction, it looked like what the bad actor had done was then, here's the deal. What the bad actor did is the first time that transaction actually failed. The second time, it was successful. And what he had done was, one fail, well, let me just throw another credit card at it. Well, that one worked, but it appears he used a bot to do that 5,600 times. So while the outside, the list of transactions only showed one failed that was eventually successful, when I opened up that transaction, there were 5,600 credit card submissions listed within the notes of the transaction. And none of those fraudulent transactions made it to the client because he had changed his email for all of his business mail, but forgot to change the email at the credit card payment gateway that was processing this particular debit card and credit card transactions. So while he saw this one transaction that was a fail and success, it was no big deal until he went to ship the product and it was like, well, I can't ship nothing there because it's a bad address. And he then said, well, John, this is fraudulent. What should I do? And I looked at it and I said, well, we got a problem because that's one of 5,600 transactions. And fixing that was a pain in the butt because since he was not in communication with the payment gateway shut down these two payment types of a popular gateway and held his money that was coming through that popular gateway, which was popular on the website. And so my part then ramped up to not only securing the website even more, but also then being in the line of dealing with the payment gateway and also getting the client's funds released, which included recreating an email account that had been closed down. And fortunately, I have a reseller account where I was able to change the DNS information for that domain, create the same account, and then reach out to the payment gateway because guess what? There's no phone call and they would not respond to anything but the original email. And regardless of his email being that having his name on it, they said, I don't know who you are. See you later. Goodbye. Well, I was able to reach out to them since I recreated the domain, which is a whole different grenade, which we're not going to talk about this time. We're going to have to talk about it. But let me imagine this. Imagine if you let a domain go. That domain was attached to your email account. You had changed your email account on certain services to the new email account and forgot one or two of them on this old email account and then let the domain go. Somebody buys a domain, and if they were aware, whether they be somebody from in-house or an old contractor, that you use email address X to deal with vendors, they could then go out there and start polling vendors to see if they could change your password and get at sensitive stuff and hurt you. And I'm not saying that that's an everyday thing, but that is a potential thing that could have happened in this case. So moving on, while we resolved that issue that began in August and we did not get that resolved to mid-October, that's when his money was released and all the chargebacks were managed. And fortunately, it was only 10 chargebacks and they were all low-end items. So I think the total damage hit he took was about $100. Fortunately, the hacker was an idiot, and he bought low-end stuff, and we did not lose any product because he put a bad address on it. You know, we resolved that. We increased the security. We fired the payment gateway because it was clear to me that an automated system should have recognized 5,000 or almost 6,000 transactions coming at it within a 10-minute period that were loaded with fraudulent transactions. To me, the IP would have been static to the payment gateway, and the volume of transactions should have suggested that it was an automated attack. Therefore, I was thinking that, and by the way, the credit cards were fraudulent. I was thinking that somehow the payment gateway should have flagged that behavior from the get-go. The rest of it is what it was. It's history. Spin forward to yesterday. My client now is much more aware, and he comes to me with an invoice almost immediately of a fraudulent transaction where the user's name is gibberish, the user's address is gibberish, the user's phone number is gibberish, but it has a Gmail account. So that pattern alone matched the middle of August attack. So what that made me do was take some advanced moves in the back of the website immediately to not only look at the invoice to make sure there weren't 5,000 carding attacks, but that the invoice did not have the issue, which theoretically WordFence had fixed back in August of 2021, actually probably September of 2021. But so I looked at all the things that I would have recognized from the previous attack. And once I deleted this person's or blocked this person from registering with the same email, and also requested the client just to cancel the transaction so to do a refund on it, since we didn't have a real address anyways, I went about researching doing a trace of the IPs. And lo and behold, using a few tools like WebSmart and some other stuff out there, I think that's what it was called, WebRate. So I brought out a couple of tools, TraceRoute, IP TraceRoute, WebRate, and it's good to have just free accounts in both those, and then CleanTalk. And I started looking at not only the first and last IPs of both transactions, but I started looking at intermediate ones. And the commonality was only in the first three bounces that were traced by all resources. The initial originating IP was out of Dallas, Texas, from a company that also does business in the UK. I'll be talking to them soon. Exactly the same IP on the transaction in August and the ones from yesterday. Then the next two jumps of the IP were within the same range, meaning the one in August had the first three numbers of the IP were the same. The last number was slightly different than the attack attempt that happened yesterday. So the first three was enough for me to say, I probably have the same guy. And coincidentally, the first three are in Dallas, Texas, which is right up there where the guy was claiming the original address for the August attack, which was in Fort Worth. Now, the last part of the trace showed the websites ending in, one ending in France and one ending in Ireland. And the one common domain in there is a company that's apparently headquartered in both Dallas and the UK. Trust me, I'll reach out to the Dallas office abuse line and have a conversation with them here as soon as I'm done right here. So I want to make sure I get somebody on the phone today. So the good thing about this is, with my client being aware, he was able to forward me that invoice. I was able to use a couple of online tools and the existing tools to stuff this bad actor from being able to repeat the last activity. But at the same time, I have questions in relation to some of the security tools that are not logging certain traffic, which absolutely should be logged, that we're paying for it to be logged because we're using the premium version. That is a conversation I'm going to be having with WordFence down the road. But in the meantime, I've secured my client's website. We've added even more security. And I spent last night and early this morning kind of watching the live traffic on one computer while I twiddled my thumbs reading news on another, because I was just burnt out. But you know what? I've had a long day. I sat in my chair from 8 o'clock in the morning to about 2 o'clock in the morning, which is insane for my normal day. But the bottom line is, I needed to protect my client's website, because this has been a client I've had for 20 years. And the one thing that I do know is he values my diligence and my bulldog, Rottweiler meets Doberman Pinscher state of mind when it comes to his website security, because he relies on that website for his income. And therefore, I rely on him being a happy camper for a part of my income. So, what does this have to do with the current higher level of threat facing all websites? And I do mean all websites, not just WordPress websites. Right now, the threat level, like I said, is on a trajectory that is exponentially heading up. And some of the attacks, in fact, as I look over here in real time on one side, a lot of attacks are coming from Russia. Surprise. But I also see quite a few attacks coming from Ukraine. I see a lot of attacks coming from France and a lot of countries in Europe. I see quite a few coming from China, and I see enough of them that appear to be coming from the United States. Now, I know quite a few of them are coming from the United States, and I know quite a few of them are spoofing their IPs, but there are tools you can use to track them down. But the more important thing is not to track down the bad actor, it's to deny the bad actor access to the website. And protecting the website protects the brand, its reputation, it protects the customers that visit that website, it protects the your client's search engine optimization, their search engine result pages, the search engine page results, pardon me. And it also, in this case, protects your ability to stand up for your work and show that you are being diligent. I mean, and the other thing is it protects literally your national security, because that while that might seem like a stretch, if a bad actor is able to plant backdoors in 10,000 websites, and there are millions and millions of WordPress websites out there, if a bad actor can plant a backdoor and then call that backdoor up to offer your website visitor invitations for discounts that are actually invitations to open up files that will infect their computer with ransomware, or redirect people to somebody else's website that infects their website with ransomware, or phishing plugins that basically go through and scrounge around somebody's personal computer for sensitive personal data, or simply tells this large group of computers to dial in your local defense department's website to basically overload the servers, or simply attack somebody else, you know, a hospital system for medical information, a retailer for credit card information. There's just too many things that compromised websites can be used for by a bad actor, and they can use them in bulk. So they're not going to just send one desktop and one hosting computer into an attack. They literally can work for months and months to build a portfolio of infected websites that they can sick on whatever their process is. And your responsibility is to reduce the chances that your website is going to be part of that attack. And the benefit is that, again, you're protecting the client's brand, the client's customers, the client's website and the website investment, the client's investment in search engine optimization and content. And finally, you're protecting your job and your reputation, because ultimately, if you're the one in charge and the website is punked and you have to tell a customer, by the way, we need to build a new website because I can't fix this, or I need to hire somebody that's going to cost $125 to $300 an hour or a flat fee of $600 to fix your website because, you know, I wasn't really doing the updates on time, I wasn't doing the backups on time, I kind of ignored this or I didn't notice that, then your reputation is the one that's online. And while if you own the website, you know, you can bounce off of that. If you're somebody that either works for somebody that owns the website with the responsibility, or you're a contractor that a business has hired, you could find yourself with some responsibility and a negative impact that in a digital world can really jack you up. And my dog now signals that it's time to go. Thank you, Zen, the puppy dog. She's a... Yes, that is your email. That is your postman. Hey, that's Zen, by the way. I can't help her. She's a good little guard dog. Anyways, my name is John. This is Channeling WordPress, episode 12. Raise your security awareness. Deal with it before a security failure deals lethal blows to the websites under your control. Have a great day. Safe WordPressing.